and good morning, everyone. I'm Mike Berry with ONC, and I'd like to thank you for joining the Electronic Prior Authorization RFI Task Force. We are glad you could be with us, and I'd like to thank our co-chairs and all the task force for their incredibly hard work these past 7 weeks, I think it is. So thank you so much. Of course, your feedback during this meeting is always welcomed, which you could type in the chat feature throughout the meeting, or could be made verbally during the public comment period that is scheduled at about 11:20 Eastern time this morning. I'm going to begin roll call with our task force members. So when I call your name, please indicate that you are here. And I'll start with our co-chairs, Cheryl Turney.
Good morning.
Tammy Banks.
Good morning.
Hans Wittendeck.
Morning.
Dave DeGandy.
Good morning.
Raj Gavarti.
Good morning.
Jim Jurgis.
Good morning.
Rich Landon.
Good morning.
Heather McComas.
Good morning.
Patrick Murda.
Good morning.
Elio Oliveira.
Good morning.
And Deborah Strickland. All right, thank you everyone. And now please join me in welcoming Cheryl and Tammy for their opening remarks. Cheryl, Tammy.
Sure, I'll start. And I want to first of all thank everybody for working on this document over the past few days. It's taken quite a change, and I think in much better shape in terms of developing the response in terms of recommendations to high tech. So it may look quite different than the Google Docs we've been working from, but that's normal because the Google Doc was really focusing on gathering all the information, the background, the people's opinions about where things were. And then what we have to do is really morph that information and frame it into the form of a recommendation. I still think that we're molding those recommendations. We're going to review them today. We may actually create a few more recommendations. And just to set the tone for the meeting today, it's probably better if we have individual distinct recommendations, but rather than have huge groups of information, which is then a little bit harder for high tech to vote on, it's actually easier if we can break them up into distinct parts, because if there is an issue with a part of a recommendation, it's easier for it to be discussed. And if we can't make that recommendation, sort of called out and set to the side if it's in a smaller component. And I think that's something that we didn't really talk about before, but, and I apologize for that as the lead, it's probably something that we should have talked about. But the agenda for today is really the deep dive on the document. We're only going to spend a few minutes on the presentation slides, probably not even the 10 that we have, because I just want to show you how they look when we translate them from the paper to high tech, what high tech's going to see. But since our recommendations are still not 100% complete, I didn't want to bring them all in there. So we'll probably only spend about 5 minutes on that. So we'll go up to 11:15, and then we have the public comment at 11:20, and then we've got homework. But really, I think the homework at this point is most likely going to be on Tammy and I to take your comments from today and finalize it. And with that, can we go to the next slide? All right, so there we go. And so this is where we are with our overall work plan. Again, our presentation to high tech, to remind everybody, is Thursday. It is an open meeting, meaning you are able to go to the calendar to download the meeting and to participate in terms of listen. There also will be a public comment during that meeting. The meeting is also going to include a hearing on AI type subjects, a responsible AI. So that may be something that would be of interest to you as well. But we welcome your participation if you would like to do so, and the opportunity to speak during the public comment. Today, we're going to focus on going through our recommendation paper, which Tammy is going to lead. And with that, can we go to the next slide? And then if Tammy, if you have any opening comments. You might be on mute.
Tammy, you're on mute.
Yeah, you're on mute.
Oh, that's all right. I didn't have anything to say anyway. No, I'm just ready to get into the meat. Let's see if I can get the report up. Okay. Just to let you know, the way we have this set up is the charge. We put additional background, just overview of the process. And then what we did is we dropped in Hans' overview of the HIT EPA landscape, because it really does inform as we look at the recommendations as we go forward. And Hans, I know you wanted to add some more to this piece, but this is where we're at today. We broke the recommendations into 16 areas. Again, this is where we're at today. Thank you to Cheryl. It's been all about this report this weekend. So we started with the prerequisites for a successful EPA process, and we tried to condense them down, recognizing that a lot of the prerequisites are already encapsulated in the other 15 recommendations. We then have a prior authorization suite of capabilities, prior authorization workflow as it relates to health IT systems, standards and regulation impact, proving ground for fire, roadmap to fire, both from a provider and payer perspective, attachments, accessibility of HIT at scale, adoption at scale, patient-centered innovation, EPA integration, EPA bundles, establishment of an advisory process, CMS alignment and functional capabilities, Hans, which is your chart, that we broke into specific recommendations. So just so you know, as we go through this, this is kind of the order of how we broke out the key categories. So for the first one, we're still working on how to encapsulate all the great information from the prerequisites for a successful EPA process. We have two different approaches that we're still trying to flesh out. If we should take those components that aren't in the other pieces and frame it from a patient, provider, and payer perspective. We'll come back to this because, again, I think looking at the content in the other ones will help us in fine-tuning this document. But the main premise is referring back to that 1.1 where we had list all the prerequisites. So number two is one I think we're going to get a little bit for. PA workflow as it relates to health IT system is the one that Hans presented on. ONC should ensure that systems and tools certified to support EPA processes must allow the capabilities to be incorporated within the existing provider workflow. It talks about the health IT vendor is not just the EMR. And
Tammy,
that, yes.
I'm sorry. I think you cut off two. You were reading three.
Oh, well, might as well stay on three since we're here and then we'll go back up.
Okay.
And then yeah, I haven't had all my coffee yet. And then about privacy security should be considered in the development process along with the functional capabilities. As we consider the PA workflow, and then again, we referred referred to Hans's spreadsheet and the functional capabilities that are contained within that spreadsheet. Is there anything that you would add, or does this make sense just to focus in basically on what is the PA workflow as it relates to the health IT systems from a provider perspective?
I think you did a nice job in pulling it all together here. So,
and we tried to stay true to the language that was in the RFI document, and just recognize that that ONC RFI doc or the RFI document is going to be a resource document for ONC staff. So it was very valuable that that document we get that document updated for 1.3.
Did you do we have this document this Word document available in this format already as well, or did I miss an email? I might have.
No, we were not able to get this out, and it's still we're still in work in progress.
Yeah, and we're not going to be able to
talk about next steps afterwards. Rich?
Yeah, we're going to need people's input if possible in the meeting today. Rich has his hand up.
Yeah, I don't think we've got time for wordsmithing here, but like 3.2 talks about vendors, but what we talked about in 3.1 is not really vendors, it's systems.
Thank you. Good call.
You want to do wordsmithing later?
Yeah. Then what? That's a good point. I will take a global view and make sure vendors is changed to systems throughout the document. That's a really good catch.
I think, Tammy, if you can tell us what are we trying to review today?
We're trying to review the recommendations to make sure
all of them, because
there's nothing missing. That you make sure that your voice has been heard in these recommendations.
No, I understand. So out of the 16 points you outlined above, with the time we have, how many points we're planning to review? Because I see that you're not planning to share this document. So what we have is what we have today in the time. Can you tell us it's section 3 and what else you're planning to review? Because we are trying to read and comprehend and comment at the same time.
Right. I guess let's go to the ones, Tammy, where we have concerns versus the ones that we don't.
Yeah.
We have questions.
That would be helpful. So,
yeah, I think that's what he's recommending. Let's focus on the highest priority ones that we might need to morph first, and then we'll go back to the others.
Okay. Which ones would you like to review, Cheryl?
You're on mute, Cheryl. We can't hear Cheryl.
Okay, I think that further down, there was a couple that ONC had questions on that we might want to break apart into further recommendations.
Which one was that?
It starts, hold on, with, let's see, 4, recommendation 4 needs to be clarified.
And it's a regulation impact?
Yeah. And then regular recommendation 6.
So 4, you want 4 broken up?
No, 6 needs to be broken up. 4 needs to be more clear. 4 we need to completely look at and see what exactly are we recommending.
Okay, standards and regulations impact. Basically, it's just the language that we talked about last Thursday. In addition, we added the e-prescribing certification criterion, which this group needs to determine if anybody is adverse to. Otherwise, the language is the same as we had discussed on Thursday. Oh, the other 4.3, we did add the legislation rules to remove. This language, basically we're trying to say that right now payers need to contract with vendors, and vendors in turn have to get opt-in from each provider. And then the payers need to recontract, which is quite burdensome. And I know there's some OAG guidance on this.
It's not contracting through HIT vendors though. Remember, this was the contract requirement where in order for us to implement the electronic prior authorization with multiple vendor systems, we then have to also contract with each individual provider. So somehow this got changed to the wrong, or it's not reading that way. So it's saying use legislation or rules to remove, and it's not to remove, it's to... eliminate the need for payers to contract with each, and it's not a vendor, it's right, to eliminate the need for payers to contract directly with each provider. To access data in an HIT system, that's the issue. Yeah, that's it.
It's the language you wanted?
Yeah, that's really the problem.
Okay, anybody have a challenge with this or other language?
Hey, I guess I am a little concerned about this, but maybe you all can explain it a little bit better to me. It seems to me that each provider needs to make the decision. You know, we talked a lot about the trust between the payer and the provider that's necessary for this, and each provider entity should have the ability to determine, you know, how much access or what access they can get, the payer can get to the EHR data. So I'm a little bit worried if we remove that contract for each provider, that capability for each provider to just determine their comfort level with a payer getting into the EHR is removed. So can someone talk me through this, how you can still manage that concern with this language? Because I'm not sure if that's possible.
Well, I think the problem we're trying to solve, Heather, is that how scalable is it if you have to recontract with every provider who you're already contracted with in order to access the data in their EHR system to support electronic prior authorizations? That's the problem. You know, how scalable is that when you have thousands of providers?
So if you look at it from a provider perspective, you have to recontract with each of your payers in order to exchange information for each of these different transactions.
Right. So maybe it needs to say that if providers and payers opt in for the electronic prior authorization process, then, you know, somehow that needs to translate to less contracting for that piece of it, not contracting with a provider. Obviously, you need to have that anyway. But, you know, we're just talking about those additional requirements that are on each payer when you're trying to implement electronic prior authorization, because they are time consuming and it's not scalable that way. How much adoption are you going to get when you have to negotiate the contracts one at a time? And Ellie has his hand up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. This is going to turn into a real burden. And I'm wondering, I had this thought a while back when we have discussions about this, but I ended up not speaking up, but about the need of having an intermediary that actually connect the dots, including agreements. I think we have HIEs as those currently, TAFCA and QHINs are coming up. Those could be the place where everybody is signing a common agreement and connecting and exchanging and eliminating some of these legal barriers.
Well, and also Alex in the chat, Alex Goss mentioned that potentially we could suggest the use of certified health IT, which might preclude the need for additional contractual arrangements to permit the flow of information. So maybe the wording of this particular recommendation should be to ensure that the use of certified health IT by all parties minimizes the additional contractual obligations that might exist for electronic prior authorization. How about that? Is that a better way to say it, Heather?
Yeah, I mean, I totally understand the burden angle, and we don't want this to, you know, the contracting to be a limitation to implementation. I totally get that, Cheryl, but I think this is better. The whole kind of eliminate additional contracting, because some of the conversations yeah. I've heard about, you know, it would, each provider would have the kind of ability to kind of, you know, customize their comfort level, and I don't want that taken away, like by a uniform contracting process.
How about instead of ensure, we say recommend the use of certified health IT by all parties to minimize the additional, that would be better. Recommend the use of certified health IT by all parties to minimize.
And there are a variety of different levers and programs that can be used. We see in the EHR program is that you get bonuses if you use certified HIT, but you don't have to. So it has advantages, and there are different mechanisms that can be used along those lines.
Yeah.
Can you clarify 4.4?
Recommends the task force recommends the ONC make a change to the prescribing certification criteria to change. And see, I I almost think this one needs to be its own recommendation because it's not really related to the other things in this group.
Right.
So this needs to be its own 4.4 PME. Otherwise, someone objects to that, it's going to throw the entire recommendation into play. So that needs to be its own recommendation.
Yeah, thank you. Also on 4.1, Rich suggested the HIPAA exception approval process.
Can you add that as a note, Tammy, instead of in the thing? If you do a right mouse click and you say insert comment.
I'll get it separated.
Okay.
Tammy, on 4.1, can you make the exception process as HIPAA exception process? I think it is very specific to that, right? So I think Rich made that recommendation. Thank you.
Okay.
Looks good to me.
Unknown caller.
Cheryl, are you comfortable?
Well, I almost think that, you know, I'm comfortable if we separate out 4.4. Yeah, I think the rest supports the overall recommendation.
Right.
All right, then I think we should go to 6. Let's see, the issue on this one was 6. Okay. And 6.1 and 6.3, we might need to restate them to ensure they support the recommendation. Because it's not really saying what we're recommending. We're basically saying clearly identify the underlying functional capabilities and specifications that need to be codified. So we need to say what we're recommending here.
Can you scroll up a little bit so we can read 6?
Can you make it bigger, Tammy, a little bit for other people too? There you go. So what we're wanting
Hans,
to say is
to your point, Hans, where you want to make sure that it's specific, right? So it's actionable.
Right. So we want to recommend that the published roadmap clearly defines, no, in 6.1.
Yeah, just a second.
Yep.
Published roadmap should clearly define the functional, instead of underlying, just the functional capabilities. And specifications that should be coded in certification criteria contained within each implementation guide and timeline that aligns both with the maturity of the functional capabilities, DaVinci IGs, and the speed of the industry's ability to debug. So I think that's awkward in terms of what we're expecting. I think what we need to say is that there needs to be a roadmap to fire for electronic prior authorization. So we know there are some existing implementation guides. We know that there's patient information that needs to be built into either a new guide or another existing guide that has not happened, and all of the three plus the patient are not in the same place. So I think what we need to say is the functional capabilities and specifications that should be codified in certification criteria.
I think we should break, I completely agree with Rich. We should break 6.1 into 2.
Okay.
Until each IZ could be one. Right, because you're saying capabilities should exist in a match to the implementation guide. So make it as 6.1 and then the associate timeline and maturity and everything in 6.2.
Yeah. Exactly. Should be mapped to the implementation guides. Oh, sorry, I was going from where you were. Right. Time will need to be built in capability should be mapped to the implementation guides. Published roadmap should be. Associated timeline, yes. Yes.
Yeah, yep. Should be mapped. Yeah, that is, I think that is point one, okay.
Yep. There you go. And then the third one, I think, should say certification criteria should be published and or should be adopted with a tiered approach.
Could that be adjusted to say tiered and staged?
That's fine.
There are a couple of approaches that are tiering it and some of them are staging it.
Okay.
We haven't discussed.
Yeah.
I think the other piece is wherever we say functionality, I think we are using functionality and capabilities interchangeably.
Functionality, what's the other word?
Capabilities.
Oh, yeah. So it should just say capabilities. I agree.
Yeah.
Same thing in 6.2, Tammy.
Yeah, that'll be consistent.
Capabilities. Yeah. We can clean that up throughout the document.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm not sure if this might be another total section, so please let me know. But I know on the last call, we discussed like the timeline being formed by an environmental scan and a maturity assessment, that kind of thing. Is that someplace in here? Because I thought that was a really good point. Like the timeline is informed by kind of where things are now. And this might be talked someplace else. I'm not sure.
Completely agree with Heather. We should address that.
Yeah. So why don't you bring that up to the recommendations, Tammy? Are you looking for something, Tammy?
Yes, I'm trying to find the language that Heather is mentioning.
Yeah, I don't think it's there.
Okay, Heather, what language was that again? Do you want it in a recommendation or in a...
I think it needs to be right after published roadmap that it should be the timeline.
Yeah, like something about the timeline is informed by environmental scan assessing readiness and maturity of the DaVinci guides or something like that. I don't remember exactly what Eliel said on the last call that was so nicely worded, but something like that would be good.
I think it's the guide and the implementation / rollout. How are we doing? Is it working?
Yeah, I think.
Can you repeat that, Hans? Readiness of the IGs.
It would be assessing readiness. Yeah. Heather provided some aspects of it. Maturity, adoption, implementability, so they kind of go hand in hand.
I like the way it's said right now.
But should it be assessing readiness rather than accessing readiness?
Yes, assessing. The two C's should be S's.
And Heather, I think the language you're saying is in the advisory body that we recommended.
Yeah, but it's okay for it to be here too. It's assessing, I think it's SS, right?
I'll do a word.
All right, and then 6.4, we need to look at also. So I'm not exactly sure, hold on, what the question was here. Oh, it was 6.3. Document. Yeah, document-driven approach. I think this one actually, isn't that go more with the attachments? So I think on its own here, it doesn't make as much sense.
Which point?
Back up, Tammy, because you're not at the one that I'm talking about. Right there. Wait a minute. Where is it?
It's the one that, this one right here. Develop a path to lead stakeholders.
Oh, document-driven approach. Yeah, you're right. Event-based. Okay. I think that was actually part of the attachments. And I know it was in that piece. So I think it can be taken out here.
Wait. So when we recommended this path, it was the discussion about the CCDA versus FIRE. So when we said document-driven approach to...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we need to skip this here.
Then we need to include something here that makes that more clear.
Okay. So if you can put in the document-driven approach, the CCDA as an example, yeah. And whereas data-driven is a FIRE approach, and even, yeah, so.
Yeah.
That would help.
To FIRE. Yep. There you go. I think that's more clear. All right. Let me go down and see. All right. Underneath there, we have solicit multi-stakeholder feedback. That should maybe be its own recommendation as well, because it's really, if we go further down,
yeah, what's the comment on this one? Describe a certification strategy only based on fire-to-fire transactions. Was there any comments that had to be addressed there?
I don't know. I didn't see any.
Okay. It's a blank comment.
Okay, where did you want to go?
Solicit multi-stakeholder feedback should be its own recommendation, because that's a type of even though it's related to this topic, it's really its own recommendation. So recommend that, okay. ONC solicit multi-stakeholder feedback.
Now you want it in the one above, which we put in, right?
No, what do you mean? I'm saying it should be its own recommendation.
Okay, because we have it in all these, we'll figure out how to do that.
Just add a note and we can separate it.
So sure, you're saying it would be like a number 7 level of...
It would be a number 17.
Got it, okay.
Yeah.
I think one suggestion on this.
Let's keep going through and then we can revisit that, because we have this throughout the whole document specific to any ask or any recommendations we have solicit multiple.
Right. So it should be its own recommendation that applies to everything, an overarching one. That's why I'm saying that, Tammy.
Okay.
And then you have here established. Wait a minute. You're going too fast. You have established granular, established granular functional criteria.
These are headers that I just dropped in yesterday, just to break up the language. So, are you trying to see if they should be pulled up into the?
I want to make sure we have this in the above, because everything here should support the above. But if it's a new
recommendation, the first recommendation.
Okay.
So
I didn't have time to marry these to the order of the recommendations.
Okay. So maybe you can help on the paper.
So this particular paragraph doesn't go with this section. It should be.
Yes, it does. It's right up here. That's what we were just talking about.
Oh, okay. All right.
Right here. Yeah. Capabilities should be mapped.
Yep.
The intent of that was that paragraph.
Okay. That sounds good. All right. I'm good then. And then let me see where else there was comments.
On the, if you scroll above, Tammy, one suggestion I have as you're rewriting that, a little bit above, if you scroll up, yeah. So when you say adoption of file release 4, I would be careful using any versions. I think the comment is generally saying, a file standard would not be sufficient. But avoid the numbers of a release, because these documents go for years. So, yeah.
Can I say for the business case instead of anything?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Where would you like to go to next, Cheryl?
It looks like that Alex had some comments on the adoption at scale. Whether the intent is certification enforcement.
And where's adoption at? What recommendation?
2.2 or 8.2. The numbering on this one's off, but we'll fix that. Yeah, 2.2 should be in the, probably shouldn't be a bullet, because it's not part of the recommendation. It's part of the discussion item. Maybe it's recommend that certification enforcement is not put in place until the standard has been tested in that practice setting and adopted. Rather than do not establish. And then the next one we'll have to reword too, because these are worded more like.
What would you recommend to have the wording change?
I'm doing it on the fly, Tammy.
On 3.2, Cheryl, I totally get what you're saying, but I wonder if there's almost two different things here. I mean, one is certification enforcement, you know, for the vendors, but then any like CMS payer requirement or program would to use the technology for providers, like a provider requirement is a separate thing. And I would prefer that this would be for both, for certification and for, you know, any provider requirement to use it. So it might be worth specifying those two things in 3.2.
Yeah, I like that, Heather.
What language would you recommend?
Yeah, this is Alex. Just I think my comment there was just to distinguish that, you know, if there is a certification criteria in the certification program, then the certification enforcement that ONC does to ensure that vendors are meeting the things that they've been tested for and certified for, that that would, that sort of automatically comes along with the certification criteria. So good to separate that piece from, you know, other requirements on stakeholders to actually use the certified health IT.
Yeah. And I, instead of support in 3.3, I would say enable the ability to roll out individual components. Again, meaning all of EPAS doesn't have to go out at once. And then I would say at the 3.1, we need to just change it a little bit and say initially initially adopt, because we're talking about adoption, initially adopt EPA for inpatient procedures as a start.
Cheryl, on 3.1, can we say initially adopt EPA for procedures or diagnosis mostly subject to PA rather than being inpatient, because it is very prescriptive, I feel, given how people want to adopt it. Should we stay at EPA for?
The intent of inpatient, and we can change it, but just to understand the intent, is that it's being tested now for inpatient, right? And one of the other recommendations is that it should be tested before it's put into certification. So rolling it in that manner seemed to make sense. Again, we can strike it, but that's the intent. Rich?
I'm struggling with us rolling together under the recommendation 8, rolling together the concepts of certification and adoption, because I think they're two separate. And if we're talking about certification, that's got to be put in earlier, whether it's mandatory or optional. But adoption's a different process. So when we start talking about testing in practice settings for types of service, that's really about adoption more than it is the ability to certify. So I'm wondering if we need to separate those out. And no, I don't have language at this point.
You know, that may be a really good point. Alex, do you have any recommendations on how we should handle it? I mean, I know we have a certification recommendation. We certainly could move the point there, but I think that related to adoption, we're just saying that if we have a certification standard in place, it's not enforced until after it's adopted, right? And then it's we demonstrate the value.
Right. So again, yeah, good to think of the, you know, different levers here. That certification is a tool under one authority and that is voluntary for health IT developers. That is certainly a choice to think about, that, you know, ONC could create a certification criteria and developers could voluntarily certify their systems to it. That could happen in advance of it being required for use by different provider groups under other programs. If, you know, people saw that, that was a value to have a period where that was voluntary use on the part of providers initially. Again, just to distinguish, you know, enforcement in the certification program is enforcement to ensure that what health IT developers have tested and certified for, they're actually meeting that, which is separate from another program, which would say a provider has to use this technology in order to get an incentive or meet eligibility requirements for a program.
So is it, I mean, it, having that in here is just really showing sort of the order of events. So, you know, initially we're going to suggest we adopt what we've tested. Today they've already started testing inpatient. So that's why we're saying let's start with that as the floor. Then, you know, make sure that, which will need certification criteria, obviously, adopted separately. And then the enforcement will come later. And then the ability to roll out individual components, as we said here, through the existing and future IGs. So it, with that, Rich, does that satisfy your issue, or do we need to morph it more? We just wanted to relate the two to show how it would work. He's not saying anything. So Ellie has his hand up.
So Shara, I think that the thought process was here that real world pilots should basically be developed first, right? To test it out in real settings that then drives the certification requirements and then the adoption, you know, more widely. So I think that's written here. It might be that a little bit of wordsmithing would get us there. For instance, like when you say in the second sentence of 3.1, over time, additional procedures can be added that may take longer for less mature health IT systems to adopt. Okay. That may need to say that to be piloted in real settings, something like that to make it clear.
All right. And I like what Heather, you put in the comments. So maybe we should morph that number 2 to say recommend certification enforcement, which we already have, and any provider requirements to use EPA not be put in place until the standards have been adopted. Not be put in place. You got it already. That yep. Until the standards have been tested or adopted, I would say it would have to be adopted.
So, Shirley, even I think I'm struggling with 3.1, which is prescribing a pilot or something. How is that in the boundary of what we are recommending here? Because I understand 2 and 3, but point one is that, you know, start with these procedures, because that's not what we say from the ONC point of view, right? They're not connecting like 1 and 2 in my view.
Yeah.
So what we're proposing is, you know, go and do this one versus.
So maybe we should just, Tammy, take out inpatient procedures and say initially roll out EPA, you know, without saying for a specific procedure, procedures that are most commonly, yeah, just what you did. That's perfect.
Yeah.
That I think said it. And Hans has his hand up.
Yeah, and generally is that for the kind of complexity of the workflow, narrowing it to certain procedures or items, that might help in some ways in staging and tiering it, but it's probably more the stages of the workflow itself or the side of the actors that would probably help more with a staging approach. As an example, on the EHR certification side, which was for that particularly focused more on EHRs, not just general HIT, API access, what you see there is that the initial the current round of requiring FHIR US core for the APIs is done on the server side, the source system, and particularly the EHRs where the primary focus is, not on the client side, not on the party interacting with it. So I think in that context is that as we talk through these ones and look at the different variations of it, one of the variations to consider and look at is as well, does it make sense to look the initial certification on the server side of the capabilities so that everybody else is going to be encouraged, but they will start to have to conform to whatever the server side does or it won't work. So it's a kind of an indirect way of getting everybody online, but have much more flexibility on the client side to figure out how it works. So that will be in this context when we talk about recommend any provider requirements to use EPA, et cetera. It takes a different approach to it by focusing on the server first and the client later.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Now, for the payers on the call, that means is that it's more focused on the payers initially than on the provider side, which allows on the provider side to work things through. On the provider side, it's the access to the source data, which FHIR score, they happen to already have to do that for other purposes where we built on those capabilities. So, but that will be a way of looking at it as well.
Okay.
I think one and two connected, because now you're allowing people to use it, what is subject to PA. Through the process, you know what data requirements you need from the provider side to start the certification enforcement.
All right, so are we happy with the words that are there now, or is there something more that needs to be changed?
The suggestion that I made would be perhaps to add a statement on here is to consider initially focusing on a certification on the server side. That will be another way of looking at it before looking at the client side of the capabilities.
Consider focusing services on the provider side. I thought he said on the server.
Yeah, I said consider focusing certification on the server side.
Yeah, for all parties?
Effectively, it's where you effectively think that you need to access standardized.
For all participants, Tammy.
I think, Hans, do you think the server and client language is...
It might be too technical.
Yeah, too technical. I think the 1, 2, 3 is simple enough. I think if we need to go a little further in any level, then that language appropriate. I would not put 3.4 unless...
Yeah, the chance that I have is that if I look at 1, 2, and 3,
mm-hmm.
The first is looking at staging procedures. It's a way, most common use. Then the other one is to look at provider requirements. Individual components, but it's not indicating is that maybe use the, rather than the server side, use the source. So if you're asking for is coverage needed or not, it's the payer. If you're asking for source data, supporting information, it's the provider, HIT. So it depends. Maybe the term source is better than server side.
And it should be certification requirements on the server side for all participants. I think we have considered focusing services, and it should be consider
certification.
Yeah. Considers certification.
And it's initially, it need not be ongoing, but initially to get it started.
Initially. Okay. And then delete, consider. Yeah. There we go.
Yeah.
Go up on the, no, delete that word too.
Yeah. And then if agreed with Raj is that the term server side is maybe too technical, if you just change that to source.
Yeah.
Source. Okay.
You can remove the server side.
Who's it? Of what? The source of what?
It's actually the source of the response. It's the...
receiver?
That's what gets confusing, which one that really is.
I think we should give an example there. So source of the information could be a provider or payer.
Yeah.
So is eligible, is auth required? You know, who is the source of that information, right? So
what are the templates and documentation requirements? The source is the payer.
Exactly.
What's the supporting information? That's the
EA. Okay, and then delete for all participants, Tammy. We don't need that. It's redundant.
Now it is, yes.
Yeah, so we can
good.
Delete that. Okay.
Okay,
All right, can we move on? We only have like 20 minutes and we still have a bunch of stuff to look at. We can wordsmith more on this after if we need to. Can we go to 9? All right, there was some questions on 9, I think from Alex. First one on 9, if used should come out, Tammy, and maybe put in the discussion, because it's not really part of the recommendation. If we need to say it, we should have it, yeah, under your rationale. And then some other comments that they had. Hold on. All right, so we need to probably rewrite a little bit the rationale, but I think that's less important and we can go over that after the meeting today. Is there anything in the rationale that would rise to the level of another recommendation? That's the only thing we need to identify. Does this recommendation clearly say that CCDA criterion should remain optional? I mean, we basically say ONC should develop a CDA attachment functional requirement, but ensure that this certification criteria remains optional. Yep, that's what we say. So, all right. We don't need to do anything more there. Okay. I think we need to go now to down to 10 and 11. So this is really the accessibility of HIT, and then we talk about certification here as well.
I think the language is too broad, saying all local settings, sizes, and this. I mean, is there a reason we are making it too broad on
the No, open? If you have suggestions on how we can make it more specific, that's exactly what we need.
Okay.
Remember, Tammy and I are not technical experts, so we're doing the best we can with the little knowledge we have. Rich has his hand up.
Yeah, on what's now 4.2, I'm not sure what we're saying there other than calling for price controls. So I suggest we delete that because there's nothing. I mean, in 4.1, we're calling for incentives. I'm not sure what 4.2 adds, and I don't see that as currently there. Adding anything to the conversation.
And 2.4.2, I would also indicate not only to initiate, but to manage. So for other solution to initiate or manage an EPA.
And where are you? I'm not, okay.
Manage or initiate, either direction you say, but.
How would the ONC ensure there's choices in systems and tools? I mean, the point that we were trying to make here is that, which I do think we need to make, is that there is clearly a link between smaller providers and underserved communities and their capabilities to implement an electronic prior authorization. So how do we solve that situation? Because that's the recommendation we were trying to make, is to find a way to make these systems and tools accessible to you know, all providers, even those in those underserved areas who may have smaller practices and can't afford the tolls.
And to make it clear, I think the original point is we want to make sure that providers or payers have the option to choose their preferred system. So maybe we can just strike the first one if that's where the gray is being seen.
Yeah, I like what you just said.
Rich?
Yeah, I'm struggling with recommendation 10 in its entirety, really. ONCA should require that any technology proposed for certification be accessible. I don't see accessibility as being at all related to certification. What we're talking about here is really policy that should provide incentives somewhere along the line that would have to be separate and apart from a precondition for certification by ONC. So something, you know, as we were talking about with the, you know, the lack of equity across provider availability, but that's really a social thing, not a a technical certification thing.
Right. So what you're saying, Rich, then, is that really the recommendation, even the top line, should be rewritten to say ONC should use or should work with other agencies to ensure incentives are in place.
Correct.
For the development and use of basically what you have in 4.1, Tammy. You don't even need to rewrite it.
Yeah, the challenge is that does ONC have the authority to ensure, or does it have the opportunity to inform and advise and suggest to other agencies to make that happen? Because ONC. Right.
So we should say inform or work with or whatever, partner with.
Right.
Yeah. I would also not use the term development when we're talking about incentives.
To establish incentives. Right. How about establish?
Development's down. Development's two lines farther down.
Yep. We'll get rid of that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Should be made available. And then just get rid of for development and use of the technology. Just that, and the use of technology. Yep, so should be made available to level out the playing field for the smaller stakeholder groups, providers, payers, other healthcare, yeah, to reach adoption at scale. That's really the recommendation. And then I don't even think we need the last one then. Oh no, I think
we need the last one.
Yeah, we need that one. You're right. But then how do we write that one? So would be three, whatever. This is 10 point, whatever. So what's the first word there?
I think that part is covered in the other recommendation of certification, because when you certify, see, you know, whatever the components, that implies that one can choose whatever works. So this section is all about how do we ensure there's a level, you know, level out the playing field. So I don't need, we need the second bullet.
Okay. Yeah. In my mind, the second one's quite important, especially from Hans's point, right? There's multiple systems out there. Right. And we don't, EMRs have their, you know, their suite of products. And if a provider wants to go outside that suite of products, they should have the ability to do so. And this is basically what it was. And I think the original language was, you know, the the provider has the option, and then it got changed. But the point is providing that optionality.
So in terms of recommendation 10 saying accessible, sorry, Rich, I'll wait.
So I think what we should just do is at to reach adoption at scale and enable all stakeholders. Now I'm going up to the first one, Tammy. To take care of this, go back up to adoption at scale. No.
I don't know where you're going. I'm sorry.
It's the first bullet under 10. You have to reach adoption at scale is the end of the sentence. And then I'm saying there, add and support or and enable stakeholders to choose preferred systems, internal apps, or other solutions to manage, or what you have at the bottom. It just becomes one sentence.
Got it. Yep.
Yeah. And choice is deleted. No, and there you go. Yeah, I like what Rich just said.
Yep.
What he has is as another bullet, ONC should ensure that its certification program supports providers' ability to mix and match components they use in their practice settings. That's really another component of this. So we want incentives. We want them to be able to choose their solution, and then we want the solutions to work together.
So it is that we want to have incentives and flexibility.
Yep, incentives and flexibility. I really like that. Thank you, Rich. And Rich still has his hand up.
Oops, nope.
Perfect. All right, so where are we? Let's see, 10. I think then we need to go to...
Okay, so you want to strike this language here?
Yes.
And enable?
Oh, no. No, not choose. We're keeping the word choose. Yeah, well, up to choose.
Well, you wanted to add ONC should ensure that its certificate supports
providers. That's another bullet.
Isn't that saying the same thing?
Oh, I don't know where you're at now, Tammy.
Okay, we're saying we added and enable stakeholders to choose preferred systems, and then we're saying ONC should ensure its certificate program supports providers' ability to mix and match components they use in their practice setting. Is that saying the same thing?
No,
and
I
so
think
then it, should we delete this part is my question.
No, I think it's this. Oh, I don't know. That let the team decide. I thought it was two different things. I'm saying where I thought one was let them choose their options, and then the second is the options need to be certified so they work together. So I saw it as two different things.
Yeah, more clarity is better on this one. I think it's good if you leave.
So would the first bullet be what it is, but the second bullet is more to indicate, and I'm not sure whether it's a payer aspect as well, but it's certainly more on the provider side, where the provider has a level of comfort that they can obtain or support the prior authorization workflow across their multiple HIT. So on the one hand, we need to have the flexibility that the workflow is supported by multiple HIT. At the same point in time, we want to make sure that providers are comfortable that they have all the information to be able to ensure that they have everything they need.
So replacing provider with stakeholder, is that better? Does that meet your concern?
No, there the word provider would have been fine. I'm trying to see whether we can phrase that last one more along the lines of the program not only needs to support the HIT that's spread across multiple, but it also needs to support the providers to help ensure that they have all the components they need, which might be one, because the system they have does everything, or they need five components that they understand what they need. So it's, I'm trying to figure out more is that how to state it from the provider. Oh, yeah. Because they need to make the choice.
It basically informs, right?
Yeah.
It informs the provider's ability to mix and match components. Right? Because it's going to say what, if they work together or not. Is that kind of where you're going?
Yep, that's fine.
Anybody have a problem with informs or informs and supports?
I like it. I like it.
I'd use the and.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, I like that. Thumbs up. Are we okay to move on? All right, let's go to 11. I don't have any recommendations to change 11. I think we've rewritten this one, but I think we wanted to, because we pulled it out and made its own recommendation, should just let the group take a look at it and react to it. Basically, this is focusing on the patient-centered inclusion. And so what I pulled out of all the discussion was that you know, we should work with the system development organizations essentially to ensure that there are standards for EPA that would include the patient so they can opt in to participate in the prior auth process, including status information, making a prior authorization request, like in the case of a renewed prescription that is name brand or something of that nature. If there's a status, if they wanted to appeal or something that was denied, having all of those capabilities enabled. So that part of this recommendation, because it we didn't really have it as a separate one, and that there needs to be either modified IGs or new IG. Some of the components most likely can be implemented in the patient access API, the Blue Button 2.0, but some of them may not be able to be because of the way that works. I don't know, but I think that's something we need to talk about or that you know, ONC needs to work out with DaVinci. And then also the roadmap should include plans for the patient. And we know we're gonna get some input also on how it relates to cost. We did not include the provider's ability to do, non-insurance cash only, because it really is outside the scope of this. And that's how the provider is going to handle their business. And there will, in my opinion, there was no good way to put that in here. And it's not something we have a recommendation around anyway. So we're going to probably get that comment at High Tech, but I think it's one we just need to listen to and indicate, you know, we do appreciate it's important, but it's not something we can address in this RFI. Any questions or comments on the patient one?
The only question would be is that, or comment that, rather than suggesting that Blue Button 2.0 API IG is being updated, is there something else? Because Blue Button is very specifically about EOB information, and this is something different. So do we want to overload an IG, or at least assume that it should be part of that one, as opposed to there should be an IG to do that?
Yeah, and maybe we should just say instead of request, we should have consider whether the Blue Button 2.0 IG should be amended, Tammy, which is 4.3 here, or the third bullet.
Okay, what? How do you want to change it?
Consider whether the Blue Button 2.0 and eliminate the word request, and then it should be amended after IG. Because originally in ICAD and in the original reduction burden rule, there was a leaning towards having a status in the Blue Button and that would allow a patient to know where things were, and that was all that was contemplated. And then also the a thought that if a patient had a prior authorization in place for like a medication, that would be part of what would be in their record, so that if that data gets sent to another payer or they move to another payer, that data would get sent with them. And Rich has his hand up, but I just wanted to give you that background.
Yeah, like I just put in the chat, I think that when we do the final editing, we need to be sure we list everything that we've talked about, the different areas that involve, that identify what are the patient actions here. The functional criteria spreadsheet at this point only talks about patient status inquiries, but we, in the various discussions we've had, we've talked about other things like patient-initiated renewals and patient-initiated DME requests. So we've got to, I think, be a little bit more consistent in listing all those, and then on the functional requirements spreadsheet, go back and add those specific items into the spreadsheet rows.
I agree.
So that sounds like the a volunteer.
Are we looking nothing for about volunteers, Tammy?
I think what we did is we included the more as innovation as a separate roadmap. So I think, I don't know if we have to add it to the spreadsheet at this point, but let's take a look and make sure that we clearly identified the need to explore those, because those were additional considerations to look at after we had this piece finished. So I'm thinking we don't have to add it into the spreadsheet at this point.
Okay.
But we do have to clearly recommend it being done.
Yeah.
If the group's amenable to that.
Okay.
Not that I don't want Rich to do more work, but just trying to help you out on this one.
Was there anything more that you wanted to highlight, Tammy? There was not anything more that I wanted to highlight in this meeting, and we're already at almost 8:20. And I don't think there's any value in showing people the PowerPoint deck. I think it's more important to focus on the recommendations, since that's just going to be cutting and pasting them into the PowerPoint.
The only question I have is in regards to Hans' functional spreadsheet. Cut and paste that and put that as an appendix. Is everybody comfortable with that document? Again, it was only a guidance document, but we did refer to the functional capability that we laid out within it, within these recommendations.
I am.
Okay.
One clarification perhaps is that rather than using the term guidance, is to use the term exemplar or something like that. Guidance may already come across that we all agree on the breakdown that's in there, and I don't think we want to represent that at this point. It's an example that is used of what the breakdown could look like, but not that that's what we think it ultimately should be.
I think that's a good idea. The document is, right, an example only. It's for example only.
Yeah, ultimately, I think ONC working with DaVinci, the community, needs to figure out where do you slice the boundary. And DaVinci is working on some things there. They are examples of where they're at in a draft stage. But that needs work. This needs work. We need to pull it together.
So we'll just keep this as an attachment B and not include any other documents. And just again, just like the other piece that Rich mentioned, just refer that it needs to be occurred or is encouraged to be considered, or that work needs to occur after this report.
Yeah. I like that. All right, can we go to public comment?
Yes, we can. Thank you. And we'll put up our slide and we'll pause here for public comments. So if you are on Zoom and would like to make a comment, please use the hand raise function, which is located on the Zoom toolbar at the bottom of your screen. If you are on the phone only, press *9 to raise your hand. And once called upon, press *6 to mute and unmute your line. So let's see if we have any public comments. I am not seeing public comment, so I'll turn it back to Cheryl and Tammy. Thank you.
Well, Tammy, at this point, I think that it's probably the rest of the work is going to be on the two of us in order to get the rest of this paper done, because there are still some editing that we wanted to do. There was one other part, though. We wanted to go back to the number one recommendation after we finished them all. Can we throw that back up and look at that recommendation? And Heather has her hand up.
Hey there. Maybe there weren't any concerns on the section or questions, but as you were scrolling through, I think I saw a CMS alignment section. I was just wondering if we could take a quick look at that.
Sure.
Do you want to do one or do you want to do the alignment?
Go to alignment. That was 15.
I don't see my bar.
I know mine keeps disappearing on this paper. Yeah, recommendation 15. I think it's page 18, Tammy.
Sorry, shut your eyes.
Oh, a little bit back. A little higher. There you go. Perfect.
This is Han's edition of the incentive, but was just pulled out to make it highlight the priority.
Got it. Thanks.
Yeah. I really love the way this actually is worded right now. I think you guys did a great job with it.
Okay, now you want to go to one.
Yeah, I think we had said at the beginning we might come back to one if we had the time.
So this was a challenge because we had so much great information. So went through the list and tried to figure out what was captured in the other recommendations to try and make this more manageable. And this is where we wound up. I'm not going to be able to put it on one screen. Continuing with the patient-specific coverage, improved matching, and the electronic ID cards to mirror ICAD for the patient needs. For the provider, again, sending the request payer-specific, and then also for the payer to send it payer-specific as well. System and tools that support the EPA to allow the medical prescription PA request to be submitted at the physician or designated healthcare staff discretion, and then the gold carding piece, Heather, that you had laid out is under C. And then the complete and accurate information and sharing of the clear documentation requirements.
Right, so this isn't reading like a recommendation right now.
Yeah, at this point, we're trying to pare it down to make it into a usable,
yeah,
usable recommendation because of all the good work, unless it's, again, it had, unless we want to put it in.
Okay, no, so we're saying
conversation.
ONC should keep the following patient, provider, and payer requirements. How about we say capabilities? Because again, we're interchanging those words. And those reflected in the following in mind related to capabilities. Okay, so we have, okay, the following requirements and those reflected in the following recommendations to relate it. So I just think ONC should keep the following patient provider and payer capabilities in mind. Or should enable the following capabilities. I think that's what we should say. ONC should keep the following patient provider and payer capabilities. I don't like the way that's stated, because it's like, what are we really asking them to do? We're asking them to basically have a list of minimum capabilities enabled. So that's what we should say.
Why don't you rephrase that? I'm unsure how to incorporate what you're saying.
I just think we should say ONC should enable the following capabilities, because that's what we're saying. And then this is the list of the capabilities. What does everybody else think?
I guess enable the capabilities. Sorry if I'm being slow, but what does that, can you explain a little bit more specifically what that means, like ONC certification or what do we mean?
Yeah, that's exactly what we need to get to. Like, what is it we're meaning with this?
And Cheryl, I mean, I'm not, this stuff is all really important. Do we, I guess it's, I'm getting tripped up, and maybe this is where you were too, like the recommendation angle of this. I'm almost wondering, is this like a list of prerequisites that's not a recommendation? I mean, I don't want to downplay it, but are prerequisites a recommendation, or I don't know, you know what I'm saying? I'm just trying to figure out how to get this to be a recommendation for ONC.
Well, I guess what we are gonna need to say is that the ONC would need to work with the standard development organizations to ensure the following capabilities are enabled through the development of implementation guides, certified products and systems to implement a successful electronic prior authorization process. That's what we wanted to establish. Because somehow we wanted to be able to get to, it's more than what was in that list that the RFI asked for. And that, you know, these are some basic things that really have to be there. Like, these are the minimum a number of things to make it work.
Yeah.
The question that I have there is that, is it the minimum to make it work? Or since, for example, having access to benefits, price transparency, et cetera, those capabilities, there's some that are, clearly, the patient can initiate and perform or initiate the prior authorization, but some of the other ones around benefits are more that it enhances the overall interaction experience in combination with prior auth. It doesn't make prior auth any more successful, but it does make the user experience more successful, because we have now the full picture. It's authorized, and this is the responsibility or impact of that. But the latter happens outside of prior auth as well. That can happen with anything that is that doesn't require prior authorization as well. So that's what I'm wondering about. It's the balancing act, or it's the complementary aspects of those two pieces of information.
So how should we reframe this? we need to finish that before we.
I'm okay with how it's phrased. I'm just trying to clarify from a conversation perspective that I don't think we need to focus as much that it's an integral part of it, but that they are complementary and need to be able to be addressed at the same time. And I think that's reflected in here.
I mean, if you want to pull out of a recommendation, I kind of like the recommendation. We could put it in the background that this is something that needs to be considered, just like Hans's point, where the, you know, what is it really an HIT vendor?
Yeah, but I don't think we should pull it out. I think that I'm not sure, maybe the title is what's wrong, because it's not really a prerequisite for a successful EPA. I think these are capabilities required for a complete, an improved, or for a successful user experience for EPA. That's really what he's saying, and that's what we're saying, is that as far as we've gone, these are things that are needed, but there's other things needed that we didn't talk about. And we're kind of at time. So Tammy, maybe you and I can work on that afterwards and get that just cleared up. But I don't think we should remove it. So yeah, we're past time. So for the next steps, Tammy, what were you thinking? Like, you and I are going to finish the paper, and then I'm going to work on the presentation, and then we're going to present it to HITECH on Thursday. And we're going to go with the best version of what we have. Want to thank everybody for their participation and your hard work on this. It's really been a very short time to do this amount of work, and it's been very, very informative and fruitful for all of us. I want to thank you very, very much. And again, they put up the, the HITECH meeting is on Thursday at 10 a.m. You can go to this link, register to participate. And thank you very, very much. And the final products will be posted as part of the HITECH meeting.
Rich, really, thank you for your comments. That's very helpful on this section.
Thanks, Tammy. Thanks, Cheryl. Really appreciate it.
Thank you both.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.